Good morning to you. Can I give you all a very warm welcome to Brighton Road this Palm Sunday morning? Great to see you here. Thank you for joining us online, those of you who are doing so. A week till Easter. Just to flag up again some of the things that are happening. Thursday evening, 7:30 at the United Reformed Church, there is a celebration of communion, a joint service with the URC and the Methodists. You're very welcome to come to that. Good Friday, we have a service here at 10 o'clock. 11:15 with other churches in Horsham at the Carfax. We are asked to download our own orders of service. If you go to our website, you can click on the banner that says Easter services, and there magically links will appear for you to print off a copy or to download something on your phone. We will have paper copies here available, though. Do not worry about that. And Saturday evening, we have a concert here on Saturday night, and before our Easter celebration on Sunday morning, we're going to look at a video just to flag up the concert that's happening here on Saturday night in aid of Turning Tides. Looking forward to it, hope to see you there. Just to say, there are activity sheets on the tables. There's something you can colour in if you're so minded. We haven't put colouring things out on the tables. There is colouring there if you want to colour in on that table. You're welcome to do so. I recognise that not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but it might be there for some of you. Our call to worship. Let's focus on Jesus coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. We begin with some words from Psalm 31, verses 19 to 24. You are wonderful, and while everyone watches, you store up blessings for all who honour you and trust you. You are their shelter from harmful plots, and you are their protection from vicious gossip. I will praise you, Lord, for showing great kindness when I was like a city under attack. I was terrified and thought, they've chased me far away from you. But you answered my prayer when I shouted for help. All who belong to the Lord, show how you love him. The Lord protects the faithful, but he severely punishes everyone who is proud. All who trust the Lord, be cheerful and strong. So let's be cheerful and strong as we stand, if we're able, and we'll sing together, Tell Out My Soul, the greatness of the Lord.
Tell out my soul. Thank you.
Do please be seated and let's pray. Loving God, we join our hearts and our voices together today in glad and joyful praise, and we welcome you, Jesus, as our King, as our Lord, and as our Saviour. We pledge you our loyalty. We bring you our love. We bow to you in worship, and we greet you with wonder. But like your people long ago, we don't always see things clearly. Our faith can be shallow and self-centered. We don't always understand as we should. Our praise can be superficial and short-lived. But we ask you, please accept the faith that we offer and deepen it today. Enable us truly to welcome you as our King and bring you our praise. Hosanna to the Son of David. Glory in the highest heaven, now and forever. Amen. When the crowds welcomed Jesus in Jerusalem, they would have used words from Psalm 118, and we are going to use that as a responsive reading now, saying together the words in yellow. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. Oh, the Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let's stand and sing together, all glory, Lord, and honour to thee, Redeemer King.
Of children and sweet words and a scream. The
I'd like us to try and recapture something of the atmosphere that Palm Sunday morning as people welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem. They had palm leaves, John's Gospel tells us, which was kind of the equivalent of the Israeli national flag in its day. If you'd like to make a palm leaf with me, now is your chance to do so. Taking a sheet of green paper, there should be enough for one person each upon the table. You are welcome to be a spectator. If you're in the gallery, we haven't got green paper up there for you. But when the moment comes, there are party poppers up there next to Francis at the top. You are welcome to shoot those away from anybody's face over the balcony, over us, when the time comes, so you can participate later on. Fold your piece of green paper lengthwise, so it is folded in half. You have a long, narrow piece of paper now. Okay. Then with a pen, draw an arc with the fold at the bottom, so the arc comes like this, up towards the open bit of paper and back down towards the bottom again, the folded bit of paper. So you need the bit of paper folded at the bottom, drawing an arc from the bottom up towards the top and back down to the bottom again. So you should have something that looks like this. You won't be able to see it, but that's the principle. Okay, that's great. On your table there are scissors, probably enough to, not one each, but enough to share. There are more scissors at the front here, but they're sharp, so I've not really given everybody enough because children might hurt themselves with scissors. Take the scissors and cut along the line that you've drawn. And lo and behold, you have a leaf-shaped piece of paper at the end of that. You cut along the line that you've drawn and you will be left with a leaf-shaped piece of paper at the end of it. There are more scissors here if you feel the need to get some. Some of you are still drawing your arc. I can see that, that's fine. That's great. Then all you have to do is hold your piece of paper with the folded side at one side and then cut diagonally in towards the fold, like so, and open it up, and lo and behold, you have a palm leaf. There you are. Okay, how about that? Because scissors are at a premium, you might prefer to draw the shape of the leaves on your bit of paper just to save time, we'll be here all morning, and to draw the diagonal lines, and you can wave it around with the lines drawn rather than cut. Okay. Do we all have our palm leaves? While you are doing that, I will tell the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem, and you can divide your attention between me and doing what I've given you to do, which is probably what you do most of the time anyway. So, can we have the first slide up, please? Thank you. So it was Palm Sunday. It was the week before Jesus was due to die and rise again from the dead. And he said to his followers, "It is now the time for us to go into Jerusalem, but I'm not going to walk. I want to ride in. So what I want you to do is I want you to go to the village over there, and you will find tethered outside somebody's house a donkey that no one's ridden before with its foal beside it. Okay? I want you to untie them and bring them to me so that I can go into Jerusalem riding on that donkey." And the disciples said, How are we going to do that? What's going to happen when the owner says, "Oi, where are you taking my donkey?" And Jesus said, "No problem. Just say these words, 'The master needs it.'" Okay. They got used by now to doing what Jesus said. So they went into the village. They found the donkey in the fold, tethered up outside a house. They untied the donkey and were about to lead them off when the lady said, "Oi! What are you doing with that donkey?" And they said, "The master needs it." "Okay then, off you go," she said. And so they led the donkey and the foal right back to Jesus. And Jesus wanted to ride into Jerusalem because there was an ancient prophecy. He said, "The daughter of Zion, people of Jerusalem, rejoice and be happy. Look, your king is coming to you, humble and seated on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Jesus wanted to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey to show that he was coming as their king, as the son of David, so that people would recognize him and welcome him. And so that's what happened. He rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. Donkey had never been ridden before, but it was very, very calm when Jesus rode it in. The crowds celebrated and shouted out things like, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord, praise the name of God, save us Lord, grant us success." So Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey in fulfillment of the prophecy from Zechariah, saying that is how Jerusalem's king would come to them. So I want us to try and recapture something of the atmosphere of that event. On the screen are some words. So if you're watching from home, you're in the balcony, you can see the words there. I want us to shout them out. On the tables, okay, there are bits of paper with the words on, and the words are in different order on the bits of paper on the table. So grab a piece of paper and have one each. And I want you to shout what's on the table in the order written on your bit of paper. It is going to be cacophony, okay, because we're all going to be shouting and saying different things. And while we do this, let's stand and wave our palm branches around. If you've got party poppers in the balcony, shoot them over us as we do so. We are going to have a celebration to create something of the atmosphere of what it was like when Jesus came into Jerusalem that Palm Sunday morning. So can I invite you to stand? Palm these at the ready. On the count of three, we start. 1, 2, 3. Hosanna to the Son of David! God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Save us, Lord, we pray! And Lord, we pray, give us success! We will pronounce blessings on you in God's temple! Hallelujah! Thank you! And please start playing. Okay, here we go. And we're going to sing Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna.
Fantastic, thank you. Do please sit down. You sing Hosanna lustily and loudly enough. What does Hosanna mean, anyone?
Save us.
Save us, Lord, we pray. Save us, Lord. Welcoming Jesus the King coming. Come and save us and rescue us. How did the people know Jesus was entering the city as a king? On a donkey, thank you very much. And what kind of king would he be? Humble, thank you for listening. You good people, fantastic, that's great, okay. We pick up the story after Jesus enters Jerusalem. Comes in, riding on the donkey. The donkey's very calm, even though it's never been ridden before. People welcoming Jesus, shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, glory to the King of Israel, blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. Not everyone was happy. The religious leaders weren't happy. Can't you hear what these people are saying? They said to Jesus. Can't you tell your disciples to keep quiet? Jesus laughed. If these people keep quiet, he said, the very stones of the city would shout aloud to welcome me. He was in no doubt that he was coming as the rightful king of the city. And he was glad that people welcomed him. His first port of call was the temple. Well, actually, he went and had a look and went away and came back again later on. And he went to the temple, which was the place of prayer, the place where people should go and meet with God. What he found there was that it was a bit like a marketplace, because you had to offer the right sacrifices, you had to offer pure sacrifices, which meant you had to have an animal that the temple sold, and you could only use a certain type of coinage, so you had to change your money into temple currency, and then use the currency that they gave you to buy the animal from the temple so you could offer it in sacrifice. And the whole thing was a bit of a racket, because the markup on the currency exchange was huge. The markup on buying the animals was huge. People were in it for profit, not to enable people to honour God and worship God. And Jesus wasn't happy at what he saw. In fact, he was furious. And he went and he got a rope made of knotted cords and he overturned the tables, the money changers, opened the cages the doves were kept in, chased the traders away and shouted, the Bible says, God says, my house should be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. But there were people who welcomed Jesus in the temple. Blind people came. Lame people came. He healed them there. The children were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord! The children were still praising Jesus. And again, the religious leaders weren't happy. Can't you tell them to shut up? This is supposed to be a place of worship, which is strange, because it had been a marketplace a few minutes before. Jesus said, no. Haven't you read what it says in the Bible? Out of the mouths of children and tiny babies, you have ordained perfect praise. Entirely appropriate that these youngsters should be shouting praises to Jesus in the temple, the holy place. It's all about welcoming Jesus as king, however old, however young we are. And we look at the story of Palm Sunday. Some people knew who he was and welcomed him. Other people weren't sure who he was and they just joined in because everybody else was doing it. Other people just really weren't happy. They didn't want to acknowledge Jesus was Lord. What category do you come in? What kind of welcome do you give Jesus? Do you think, yes, Jesus is Lord, King of my life? Or you just join in because everybody else does? Or, ugh, really not sure. Jesus comes as your humble King, inviting you to welcome him into your life. If you do so, he will reign in your life with love, and with grace and with mercy, because that's the kind of king that he is. Thanks to Richard Gunter for letting us use his pictures in this service. Can I lead you in prayer? Let's pray. No, it's not, actually. We've got reading first. Get that right, Carter? Yeah, Jan, going to bring us our reading from Philippians chapter 2. Thank you.
It's Val, actually.
Val.
You worried, Jan.
Sorry, Val. Okay, take two. Val is now going to bring us our reading from Philippians. And it's Philippians chapter 2, isn't it? So that's great. Yeah, good.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you. Sorry, Val.
Yeah, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. I think this is the Good News translation.
Yeah, it is, yep.
That you wanted. Your life in Christ makes you strong, and his love comforts you. You have fellowship with the Spirit, and you have kindness and compassion for one another. I urge you then to make me completely happy by having the same thoughts, sharing the same love, and being one in soul and mind. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or from a cheap desire to boast, but be humble toward one another, always considering others better than yourselves. And look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. He became a human being and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so, in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will fall on their knees and all will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
To the glory of God the Father, then, can we say together, Jesus Christ is Lord? Okay, that was in the reading. Okay, together. To the glory of God the Father, can we say together, Jesus Christ is Lord? Thank you. Let's pray. Gracious God, we hear that call to humble ourselves as Jesus did. You tell us not to think of ourselves more highly than we should, but we find it hard to do that sometimes. We can think too much of ourselves and too little of ourselves. There have been times when we've been full of our own importance and wisdom, harbouring vain illusions about how important we are or what we can do. And we've not valued other people. We've allowed prejudice to colour our judgment and poison our attitudes. We've been so preoccupied with ourselves that we've looked down on those around us and failed to see good in them. For those times when we valued ourselves too much and others too little, Lord, forgive us. But we recognise too, sometimes we've been too full of the importance of other people, too ready to follow them without question, putting our faith in their words and actions without weighing carefully what they say and where they're taking us. And we've underestimated our own potential. We've belittled our achievements and who we are. We fail to recognise the gifts and abilities you've given us. We've looked at successful people and felt that we are inadequate by comparison. So those times when we valued others too much and ourselves too little, Lord, would you forgive us? And thank you that you value each of us, not for what we might become, but for who we are. You made each one of us unique and precious in your sight. Thank you that here in this place you don't love anyone more than anybody else or less than anybody else. Give us assurance in your love for us. And give us a proper respect for ourselves and those around us. And if we ever lose that sense of balance, Lord, in your mercy, forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Normally, we receive people into church membership here at a communion service. Marion Luff was agreed at the last church meeting to become a church member. We haven't been able to sort out a communion service where that works, so we're going to receive Marion into membership with us here this morning. For the cautious among you, our governing document says this will normally be done publicly. Doesn't specify it will be done at a communion service. We're not infringing any rules doing it this way. We're just departing from tradition, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. So, Marion, where are you? Come on out front. And if you're not normally in communion, you won't normally see this happen. So this is good. Membership is for people who love Jesus, love this church, feel this is the place where God has called them to serve, and it's open to anyone who comes into these categories. Jesus is Lord, these are my family, God wants me to serve here. Membership is right for anyone who can say that about themselves. Marion, let me ask you three questions. Do you declare your faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, having found new life in him? And do you believe God has called you to serve Christ as part of this local Baptist church? And do you commit yourself to love and serve the Lord in this church community and in the world and being filled with the Holy Spirit to fulfill your ministry here in the body of Christ? If you're a church member, can I invite you to stand, please? And let me ask you, do you welcome Marion into the family of God in this local Baptist church? Do you promise to love her, support her, encourage her, pray for her, serve Christ with her, and to stand alongside her, whatever may happen? If so, would you please answer?
We would do.
Can I invite you all to stand, please? We're going to pray for you, Marion. Father, we pray for Marion. Pray for your spirit to rest upon her. Pray that here in this church she would feel valued. That the gifts that you've given her, she'd be able to use effectively in your service. That she would flourish as an individual in relationship with us and with you. That you'd use her gently and powerfully and effectively as she works among us. She's been with us many, many years. Thank you for this fresh step of commitment she makes to us and to you. Bless her as she does this, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Marion, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, on behalf of this fellowship, gives me great joy to welcome you to membership with us. God bless you and keep you. Thank you. Do please sit down. Whoa! That doesn't happen at a communion service. How important are you, really? How much are you worth? Let me explore that with you. Again, on your table, you have bits of paper, white bits of paper that you shouldn't have cut or otherwise defaced or done anything with yet. There should be enough for one person each, I hope. Can I invite you to take your bit of paper and fold down one corner towards the opposite edge so that you kind of have this triangle at the top with an oblong bit at the bottom. Can you see that? Okay, folding down one corner towards the opposite edge. You have a triangle at the top and an oblong bit at the bottom. I can see lots of you have done that. That's good. Now, taking the top pointy bit of the triangle, fold that down so that you halve the size of the triangle at the top. Okay? So you have a different shaped triangle at the top and still a plain sheet of paper at the bottom. Everyone got that? So you fold your bit of paper so it looks like this, okay? And then you fold the top down so you halve the size of the triangle and it now looks like this. Are you all there? Okay. What's it look like? A house, thank you. Lots of people see their houses as status symbols. For some people, real estate is the ultimate sign of extravagance, opulence, and exclusivity. If you live in a bigger house, in a better area than other people do, some people think that makes you more important. Okay, can I invite you to another fold? This time, folding down the centre, okay? Folding down the centre. So now you have this shape. All right, you all there? Now this is complicated. Turn it so you've got the fold at the bottom, okay? And you've got two flappy bits at the top here. Fold the one flappy bit down. You might have two sides of it so that the bottom, the top half here now aligns with the bottom half there, okay? Okay, you with me there? And do the same the other side. So the other flappy bit folds down. And what was the top half now aligns with the bottom half. And you should end up with something of this shape. Yes, please refrain from flying it just yet. But what does it look like? An aeroplane, thank you. Again, For some people, this is the ultimate status symbol. If you go to Farnborough Airfield, some people will spend £200,000 a year to rent hangar space to store their own private aeroplane and employ people to polish it until you can see your face in its reflection. This again is the ultimate status symbol. But does having that much money to buy your own massive property or to own your own plane, does that show how much you're really worth? Let's cut to the proverbial, because Jesus said, you can't measure someone's worth by the value of their possessions. You cannot measure someone's worth by the value of their possessions. You might take pride in what you earn, but or what you own, but it doesn't show how much you are really worth. So let's cut through the pretense. This is where you need a pair of scissors. There are extra scissors at the front here. Holding your piece of paper like that, taking scissors, cut right the way up the center from the bottom. Okay. You might struggle if you've got a naff pair of scissors. But cut it in half, right the way through. All the pretense, all the showmanship, all the, this is my house, this is my plane, this is how important I am. If you want a pair of scissors, please come and get one from the front here. There are plenty of sharp, decent scissors here, okay? Drop all the little bits of paper, because there's lots of rubbish. And you should end up with one piece of paper that's bigger than all the others. Unfold it, and what shape do you get? Because this, once you cut through all the pretense, this is a measure of how much you are really worth. What have you got? Okay, a cross. A cross. Unfold it. God says, this is how much you are worth. God sees what's going on behind the facade we present to everybody else. And he loves us just for who we are, warts and all. That's why he gave his son to die for you. You don't need the big house. You don't need the private jet. You don't need to show that you're better than anybody else. All these things we take pride in are empty. In God's eyes, your life is beyond price, simply because he loves you and gave his son for you. That's the key to your true identity. That is the good news of Easter. Well done. You've done it. Fantastic. That's brilliant. Okay, lovely. Let's sing together, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. sit down. I'm going to read you a meditation by Sheila Walker. I think I might have used it a few years ago. Those of you with good memories might remember it, but lots of you won't. It's based around four colours. So as I mentioned, the colour will appear on the screen as if by magic, but Alex will do that for us. We also have people who have large bolts of cloth. They will come out and hang that particular colour on the table to aid us in our meditation on this particular theme. Words spoken as though by Jesus. Spectrum. Today is the first day of the last week of my life. A week that will take me for all I've got. Emotion, strength, thought, stitching up the final threads of my tapestry with needles like thorns. Green. Green for the palm trees, symbol of life in the desert, symbol of Israel's land. Wave like banners with excitement, yes, but perhaps with little thought and less understanding by a people green with the springing hope of a coming king, but green too in the ways of religion, politics, paradigm shifts of God. Green for the garden. For the olive trees of Gethsemane. Tortured stems twisted in agony. Knowing perhaps that the fruit they bear must be crushed. Crushed if the oil is to flow. And green too for the jealousy of the priests. Hiring the traitor. Inciting the crowd. Conspiring to kill, subverting the course of justice. So green and red. Well, the priests saw red, saw their authority, their power, their prestige leeching away to the one who'd be better dead. Red for Judas. Judas too saw red. Money that could have funded a revolution, wasted. It made you wonder if the master was serious or whether he'd totally lost the plot. Red too for the fire in the guardroom, Peter's shame, warmth dulling his brain, smoke in his eyes, blinding him to the dangers of being in denial. Red the comb of the cock which crowed, waking him to the enormity of three times disowning the Lord. Red too for the blood red wine of the Passover cup of life, poured out unto death. My last taste of the fruit of the vine this side of heaven. Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. Red, blood shed from the sweat of the inner war, from the beatings, floggings, from the thorns in the head, from the nails in the hands and feet, from the spear in the side, from all the passion of a broken heart. Red and black. For black is the colour of the backdrop, and the black thread tracks like tacking the path ahead. Black, the shadow across the world, across the soul of every man, specifically now Judas, allowing the black cloud of impatience and greed to blot out the sun. Black night in Gethsemane, dark night of the soul. Void of friends, of light, of concessions. Black desolation at the betrayal. Had not one betrayal, but several. Predicted, but gutting. The flight of faith on the black wings of doubt. Black thorn stabbing my brain, taunting serpentine. Did God say? Black nails doing to flesh what should only be done to dead wood. Black too, the day, black as night from noon till three, while the sun itself mourned the impossible truth that its maker was being unmade on a Roman tree. And black, the cave at the end of the road, offered by Joseph of Arimathea. Blacker still, when the stone was rolled in front of the tomb for fear of mischief. But nothing could stop the divine alchemy of Easter turning all to gold. From this Palm Sunday, through Holy Week, the events of Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's close our service by singing, "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow." Thank you all for your help. to share together in the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.